Well, recently, a leading American politician, Senator Elizabeth Warren, who had claimed Native American heritage, was taken to task for claiming this heritage despite a DNA test. Critics argued strongly that even if Warren does have Native American ancestry, that doesn't make her a Native American. Warren's test coincided with a similar test taken by two Aboriginal journalists at SBS. One of these women's results came back as showing the presence of Aboriginal DNA, but the other, whose living grandmother is a Walpiri woman, came back as negative. These results confirm serious doubts amongst Aboriginal people and geneticists as to whether DNA testing is even useful in proving an Aboriginal identity. Experts point out that there isn't enough DNA data on Indigenous Australians on the data banks of the DNA testing companies to do the kind of genetic test undertaken by Warren and the two journalists. Australia, like the US, is grappling at the moment with a bigger conversation about what DNA testing actually means when it comes to Indigenous identity. And to find out why this is important and how Aboriginal identity is currently proved, I had a yarn with Professor Gregory Phillips, himself a Wanyi and Jarum Aboriginal man from our very own Gulf Country.
A three-part definition. One is that you have biological descent. Secondly, that you identify within the community that you live as an Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander person. And thirdly, that you're accepted by that community as an Aboriginal person. So that's the three-part administrative Commonwealth definition. And there's a certificate of Aboriginality that goes along with that. So for people who are wanting to prove their identity, they have to get that signed and a common seal of a registered Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander organisation. For that organisation to do so, they have to be recommended, you have to get an elder or community people to recommend you and to vouch for you that, yes, you are an Aboriginal person and they know your family. And then that corporation will make a decision and agree or disagree with that. So that's the current process and system for official matters of Aboriginality.
There's been a lot of discussion in the Western world at the moment about the role DNA can play in, DNA tests, I should say, can play in determining someone's identity or where they're from or what they're allowed to identify as. Are you a little worried about DNA tests being used as a deciding factor in whether someone is an authentic Aboriginal or not?
Yeah, I mean, I am. The general principle in all of this is that only Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people themselves can decide what identity means for us and how we decide notions of identity. The Commonwealth definition I mentioned before is deeply flawed. We use it as a proxy now in our communities, but it is deeply flawed. But on the other hand, the move to more technical categorisation of Aboriginality through DNA testing and other measures like that are very common in North America. North America has had a historical approach of blood quantum that Native American and First Nations tribes themselves use. We don't have that in Australia, thank goodness. But now in America, with the move towards DNA testing, look, I just would urge extreme caution for people because if DNA testing can give you some approximation of genetics, but it can't tell you anything about identity. So genetics might give you, they're not 100% accurate. What we know of the DNA testing available at the moment, it's not 100% accurate even for the genetic side of things to determine if someone has Aboriginal ancestry or not. And secondly, of course, genetics is only one small part of the overall picture of Aboriginality and identity. So as a definitive technology, if you like, or a way of determining so-called authentic Aboriginality, it's deeply flawed and basically doesn't work.
You're hearing from Professor Gregory Phillips with Abstar Consulting and Griffith University. He's from the Gulf Country, and we're talking about what kind of things go into determining whether someone is an authentic Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander person in the eyes of the law, but also, more importantly, in the eyes of the other law, Gregory. You know how there's two kinds of laws. In the eyes of the other law, if I'm to use that term, what do you think is more important than technical DNA tests in determining someone as being authentic First Nations?
Well, for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, we generally have our way of determining who's Aboriginal or not, and it goes something like this. Firstly, you do have to be able to prove some blood connection. You do have to have an actual set of lineology or descendants from ancestors. But then secondly, you also have to understand something about your family connection and connection to your country. And thirdly, you also need to be willing to learn knowledge. So you could be biologically Aboriginal. So members of the stolen generation find this difficulty. They can be biologically Aboriginal, but through no fault of their own, if they don't understand their family connections or connections to country or knowledge of Aboriginality, it doesn't mean that they're not Aboriginal people, because of course they biologically are, but it does mean that their identity as an Aboriginal person can't be fully formed until they go on their own personal journey to find their family, if that's possible, and also knowledge of Aboriginality. I'm not saying that as an exclusionary thing, because I have members of the stolen generations in my own family, and there are many Aboriginal people who grew up as Aboriginal people with culture and are proud of being Aboriginal and know their family connections. But do we understand the deeper cultural values and knowledge? What it means is that we're all learning, but we all have to have the intent and the action of wanting to learn more Aboriginal knowledge. You can't just say you're an Aboriginal and then, you know, just from blood lineage, and then jump into leading Aboriginal organisations, for example, or to speaking for whole communities, if you haven't got that lived experience. And if you haven't also made some attempt to learn Aboriginal knowledge.
Why do you think this is starting to rear its head as a bit of an issue, Professor Phillips, in Australia and also North America? People who are being questioned about whether they're authentic Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander or authentic Native American Indian. Why is this starting to raise its head?
Well, I mean, motivation is important here. If it's the Aboriginal community for ethical and purposes of integrity to start to question or to bring in community definitions of who are Aboriginal people, that's fine. But if it's Aboriginal people doing it for exclusionary reasons, just, you know, for reasons of lateral violence or to sort of tear each other apart, that's not really ethical and that's not the Aboriginal way either. But to answer your question, basically the reason why these things come up is because usually there are companies such as DNA testing companies who just want to make a quick buck, or there are organisations who are trying to deny Aboriginal people resources or support if there's assistance available. But also there are some, I mean, look, in any community there's a handful of frauds. It's by no means the vast majority. There are, you know, a few people who hang around and say, oh, you know, I've got one smidgen of Aboriginality from 100 years ago, and so therefore I'm going to claim everything and take over and speak for all other Aboriginal people. So we, of course, ourselves want to be on the guard against that sort of thing. The other issue is just this insidious political narrative that we're a part of at the moment, which is, in Australia, the far right judging and categorising Aboriginality for their own political purposes, which really harks back to the old days of eugenics and anthropology of old. And those purposes are not with integrity. They're not for the right purposes. They're about excluding and hate, actually. They're hate speech. So I come back to the principle. The key principle in all of this is it must be Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people themselves who define their own identity on their own terms and paradigms for their own motivation.
You're hearing from Professor Gregory Phillips with Abstar Consulting and Griffith University. I guess we've looked at the present situation, Professor Phillips. What do you believe would be a fairer test of Aboriginality?
There's two things. If you've grown up as an Aboriginal Islander person, you know full well how this works, and you know full well who is and who is an Aboriginal. But in an official sense, we rarely have the space to sit down and determine for ourselves how we would like to deal with these matters at a governance level, because until now we've been disempowered. We haven't had governance positions. But where there are communities that have local community councils or have councils of elders or have regional groupings of Aboriginal organisations and people coming together, I think this is the exciting opportunity for us, for those groups to sit down and figure out for their own purposes how they want to address the issue.